Greetings in the Savior's most worthy name. A number of years ago, before the problems of this world were so complex and so very, very serious, Dr. John Kellerman, a minister in New York, asked a friend this question: what is your solution to the present world unrest? His friend, Dr. Kellerman, said, amazed me. He simply said, a dictator. But, argued the great preacher, your dictator would have to be a superman, one with perfect understanding of civic and economic problems, and with genius to meet the opposition and resolve the fears of those who doubted and opposed him. I know it, was the quiet answer, but we're looking for such a man, and we have him in view. His name is Jesus. Friend of mine, I'd like to tell you today that there is one coming who will set this world in order. Not really a dictator. The Scripture calls him the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is the one and only, the eternal God, who did manifest himself as the babe of Bethlehem's manger, that he might, through a perfect, sinless life, go to the place called Calvary, and there give his life's blood, bleeding and dying for lost humanity, for the lost souls of men and women, for that lost soul of yours. Friend of mine, he has promised again he will come soon. Are you ready for him? He's coming, perhaps today, and he's coming whether you're prepared or not. Would to God that this very day you would prepare to meet God. Note the hymn selection that we have for you today. It gives us further assurance, based upon the truth of God's word, that this same one who came to die is coming again to reign. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the blessed prospect we have that Jesus will return, and that soon. For that blessed daybreak, for that time of spiritual blessing, we give thee thanks and look to it with eager anticipation, and even pray in the words of John of old, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Father, we do pray sincerely that before you come for us, even perhaps today, there will be some listening to this broadcast who will come to you by faith and accept the Christ of the living God as their own Savior. Bless, we pray, Father, all listening, as in his worthy name we give our thanks. Amen. From Ephesians chapter 5, we read, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Once again, the expression from verse 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Over the past several weeks, we have been giving consideration to this verse and to the church of which it speaks, that body of blood-bought believers that the Lord Jesus Christ so loved that he gave himself for. Now, we have emphasized and reemphasized that we're not talking about a local denomination or even a local congregation. We are certainly not talking about a specific building or all of the buildings called churches throughout this city or this land, but rather we are talking about those believers, those individuals, those people who have been saved by the grace of God, those who have recognized before God, according to the Word of God, and as revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, they have recognized that they were lost, hopeless, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. And as sinners without hope and without God, came in repentant faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him, the Lamb of God, as their Savior. And the Scriptures tell us that such sinners who receive Christ, who are born again by the Holy Spirit, are added by the Holy Spirit unto the church, which is his body. Not an organization, not a system, not a congregation, nor a denomination, but that body of believers, that living unit, that organism, not an organization, that Christ loved and gave himself for. We want to spend the moments we have today speaking of the completion and destiny of the church. This specific time when the so-called church age or the dispensation of grace will end and Christ will come back and take up that which he lost and that which he died to redeem. As has already been noted, the church is now in the process of construction. Every time a soul is saved by the grace of God, a living stone is added to the building, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The edifice is rising silently without sound of hammer. And the Holy Spirit adds daily to the church such as should be saved. We refer you here to Acts 2 and verse 47. One day soon, oh, would to God it would be today, this work will be finished. The last stone will be added, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself will descend into the air. And as if drawn by a divine and mighty magnet, the church will rise to meet the Savior, and together they both will return to the many mansions of the Father's house. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. A scripture reference, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. Let us point out that this is not talking about all who say, yea, yea, Lord. This is not talking about religious people. This is not those who have simply gone through the formality of church membership. But this is speaking of those who have by the Holy Spirit been added to his body, the church. As again we say, in repentant faith, they came to the Christ of the living God, the very one who bled and died on Calvary, the one whose holy soul became sin for them. And as they trust him, as they receive him, John 1 and 12 tells us, he gives them the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to as many as would believe upon his name. It will be the church's blessed portion, not only to be with Christ forever, but also to share the glories which he won during his earthly career, John 17 and 22. And praise God, 1 John tells us we'll not only be with him, but in glorified bodies. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Oh, friend of mine, how can you hesitate to make the choice for Jesus Christ? Christ or chaos, heaven or hell, damnation or glory, the decision is yours. Throughout eternity, the church, that blood-bought body, is destined to be an eternal witness to the glory of God. Ephesians 2 and 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show or display the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, imagine, friend of mine, he's going to show his exceeding grace. He's going to display to all who would witness it the grace of God in reaching down into the caverns of this sin-cursed world and picking up lost, rebellious, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners such as myself and such as you are or were, as the case may be. And through his grace, all of us who have been saved, all of us who have been born again, all of us who have come into the possession of eternal life, we may know that our sins are forgiven and we're on our way to heaven. And once we arrive there through the rapture of the church, through the second coming of Jesus Christ, he will forever and through all eternity display us to demonstrate the grace of God, the mercy that kept us out of hell, the grace that took us to heaven, and his own love that made us his beloved bride. In the meantime, the church is God's masterpiece on the earth, an object lesson to principalities and powers in heavenly places of the manifold wisdom of God, and every believer should therefore be vitally interested in the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ, in every member of the body of Christ which he loved and gave himself for, and will soon come to reclaim, to transport, and to conform to his own image. And thus our Christian service should have in mind the expansion of the church of Jesus Christ. That is, preaching Christ and living Christ and sharing Christ with men and women who know not the Redeemer, and also in the edification or the building up of fellow believers. Oh, that we all might live to his glory, and that we might have as the foremost object of our lives Christ having the preeminence Would to God that would be the desire, the purpose of every blood-bought child of God listening today, that throughout Nashville we might make Christ known to a godless, Christless community who knows not Christ through the forgiveness of sin. Oh, fellow Christian, might we be faithful in sharing Him with the many of our community who have never received Him. And might we all be looking for that blessed day, that glorious daybreak, which could be today. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, friend without Christ, receive Him today. Trust Him for your own eternal salvation. And may the Lord bless you.